Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation. Hour four of the nation. As we have Rangers pregame coming up in about 42 minutes from right now, Jared Sandler will be on the call as they visit the Braves for an interleague baseball series that might be a World Series preview.
I missed you, man.
No, you're good.
I'm sorry because, you know, with the, sure. I was thinking like we were in that final hour. My bad there.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
I think you're doing better than me so far today. I think I've had three or four of them, to be honest with you.
I was looking up at it and I went,
yeah, what's your excuse, Brian?
Yeah, what's my excuse? I didn't have an excuse. I usually like tell Dawson what hour it is.
I gave
him the wrong
And I rely on him. I trust him more than myself.
I gave him the wrong number today. I'm sorry about that.
Eric Nadel is coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk with the Hall of Fame announcer. It's time now to speak with Jared Sandler about the Rangers news of the day. And a good evening, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
So we got lighter optioned and white up. Where does Jack go from here as far as building back to his next opportunity in the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just goes back, stays on turn, pitches as a starter with AAA Round Rock, and then, you know, the minute there's a need, just like there was, you know, this time, I think he's the next man up. So this was not a surprise. Unless there was an injury to one of the five existing starters, I don't think that there was really a scenario in which Jack was going to stay up unless he, you know, went seven shutout or something. But even still, I don't know exactly what that next step would be. I think here, you know, they had a need for him. He started, you know, he got the big league debut out of the way. Thankfully, the Rangers came away with a win. He probably pitched a little bit better than his line suggested. And then he, you know, continues to develop and work on the things he needs to work on. And if someone goes down, then he's going to be the next man up. So not a surprise that he got sent down. I know, obviously, the reaction from some folks is that the Rangers must really have been disappointed with him because, you know, at the end of the day, I guess technically it was a demotion. But that's not at all what the situation is. This was sort of a planned spot start, and he'll be able to build off of that experience, hopefully by going down to AAA and then coming back up, I'm sure, sooner rather than later.
Jared, Chris Sale on the hill for the Braves tonight, though, when healthy, what is this mastery that he has over the Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't faced them in a while, so hopefully, you know, he forgets that dominance. But, yeah, he's always been a pain for the Rangers. You know, the old joke with Adam Rosales, he was the only guy who could hit Chris Sale back when Adam Rosales was with the Rangers. But he's really good, and you know, he's healthy. I don't know that he is as dominant as he once was, but he's still a good pitcher, and his breaking stuff is still moving at a really elite level. And the other thing here is the Rangers struggle or have struggled against lefties, and a part of that is no Josh Jung. You know, he's one of the bats you expect to stick in the middle of the order and hit lefties. I think the Rangers expect Wyatt Langford to be productive against lefties once he gets into rhythm, but obviously, you know, that really hasn't taken form yet. Corey Seager's someone who hits lefties at a high level, but, you know, he's got off to a slower start, and, you know, the Rangers need someone to step up. And, you know, I know that this is an incredibly talented roster and an incredibly talented lineup, but they're missing two guys who really did a number against lefties in their lineup last year, Mitch Garver and Robbie Grossman. Robbie Grossman had a 950-plus OPS against lefties last year, and Mitch Garver was just beneath that, like 934 or something. And so they need some guys to step up and fill those holes. And so, you know, Josh Jung is going to be one of those guys when he comes back. But they really need Wyatt Langford to start to take steps forward against lefties. And You know, obviously Evan Carter has gone off to a slow start against lefties, Leody Taveras as well. So, you know, right now the Rangers are a little more vulnerable against lefties than they are against righties, which means that they're going to score 10 runs in the first inning off of Chris Sale, because I said this, but big picture, that is something to see or follow in terms of its development.
Yeah, Jared, you mentioned, though, about lefties. It seems like the one thing that's kind of held the Braves at bay, though, is left-handed pitching. Their record is at 500, 3-3 with that. Is there any secret to that with Heaney on the hill tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because they're not – last year they were historically dominant against lefties. They had the highest slugging percentage ever in a non-shortened season because of COVID against lefties. And this year it's a little bit different. Now, Ozzie Albies being hurt, that helps the Rangers. He is lethal against lefties. Sean Murphy has been hurt. And so, you know, he's not in there. Ronald Acuna Jr. is still obviously a stud, but he's not gone off to some lightning start. So, I think that no pitcher, lefty or righty, is going to have an easy time against this Braves lineup. For whatever reason, they have not gone off to the start against lefties this year that they did last year or the season they had. And you just look at some of the numbers. Like I said, Acuna hasn't been great against lefties. Austin Riley hasn't been great against lefties. Matt Olson hasn't been awesome against lefties. He's been good, but not awesome. And so, you know, hopefully the Rangers are catching the Braves at the right time. Because much like I think the Rangers will be just fine against lefties when all is said and done, I think the Braves are going to be a really good group against lefties as well.
Jared Sandler here with you on the Fan. Pre-game's coming up in a bit over a half hour. Sounds like the Oregon player is already in mid-game form over there, Sands.
Yeah, they've had the gates open and fans are filing in. This is one of the better game atmospheres in baseball. It's a really cool park, and obviously with the Braves being a really good ball club, they fill this. And I think we've seen this already when the defending World Series champions come in. There are more Rangers fans who are willing to show their face, and I'm sure Braves fans in search of another World Series after winning one in 2021 look at this as a possible World Series preview, even though we kind of several months left, but it's an exciting matchup and should be a really fun atmosphere.
How good are the Braves' plan coming into this one?
Well, they just swept the Astros. I don't know what to make of that because the Astros are 6-14, but the Braves are a really good team. You know, they're in first place in the division, and the NL East is not going to be a cakewalk division. Philadelphia is obviously really good. But what's interesting with the Braves, much like the Rangers last year, the Rangers persevered despite a rash of injuries, and the Braves are kind of in the same boat. No Sean Murphy, no Ozzie Albies, Spencer Strider's now done for the year. And so the Braves they've had their share of injured stars, and, it's just a really deep lineup. They can beat you in so many ways. They're athletic. They can beat you on the bases. They obviously can beat you with the power. They are a deadly home run hitting team. And then the starting rotation's gone off to a slow start, but it's a really, really good bullpen, and it's a diverse bullpen in terms of what they have to choose from and what these guys can do. And one slight advantage the Braves have coming into the series that the Rangers don't is that the Braves were off yesterday. So, while the Rangers are in day 15 of 17 straight days with a game, and they're kind of playing from behind in terms of bullpen availability, the Braves are rolling into the series with fresh arms, and certainly for tonight, that's going to be advantage Braves.
Jared, it took a couple of games in Detroit, but you kind of saw a little bit of the power come back for the Rangers. And on the broadcast yesterday, you were kind of talking about maybe the right time with them showing up in Atlanta. Is that something we can hopefully see a little bit more tonight with some pop in those bats?
I hope so. Chris Sale, like I said, yeah, a lefty, he's been good against the Rangers. Obviously, as you mentioned earlier, Brian, tough to know, is that going to carry over sometimes for the pitcher? I don't think any of the players of the Rangers really have any clue about that. But for Chris Sale, maybe there's some mental component. As far as what he's done this year, I mean, he's allowed two home runs. So it hasn't necessarily been home run prone. But, you can't – I'm not saying you can't win a game 4-3 against the Braves, but it's just tough to go into any game with the Braves and expect that just four runs is going to be enough. And that it doesn't matter who's on the mound for you. So, the Rangers have been doing a good job with runners in scoring position, but every once in a while, that three-run home run is nice. And they did such a great job, hitting the long ball with men on base last year. It was such a big part of their offense. And I'm sure they're going to, you know, bring it back. I think over time it's going to even out. It just, you know, hasn't really been a big feature of what they've done offensively so far this year.
Jared, you know, how I assume this is not going to be the plans going forward, though, these four out saves that we're getting for victories and for saves. Yeah. Is it just a game feel thing, or is it something that they're kind of working through right now, and maybe that's something they're going to continue to try and do?
Yeah, I mean, I think a few things brought us. One, you know, if you think of yesterday's game, it seemed like they wanted to leave David Robertson, you know, off the mound if they could, given his workload, and then also makes him available tonight. You kind of got to take your pick. So they knew it seemed like they knew they wanted to go with Yates, so that meant that Yates wasn't going to be available tonight. So now they have Robertson available. You know, they obviously felt like with Leclerc, he had kind of reached the end of his rope. And so, you know, what are you going to do? Well, you know, in that situation, if Kirby Yates is good to go, then, you know, you take him at his word. And obviously early in the season, maybe it allows a little more leeway. And Kirby Yates, who did pitch the night before, throwing 24 pitches, you know, you look at that and say, oh, well, maybe he's not available. But clearly they felt like it was okay. And I don't think they want to get in the habit of four out saves, especially in consecutive games or four out appearances, you know, with him picking up the win two games prior, giving the team four outs. But, you know, I think Bruce Bochy saw an opportunity to win a game and win a series and, you know, decided to get the win that was right there in front of him. And you know, you figure out what to do tomorrow, which obviously is today. But I don't think that's how they want it to line up. I think they want to be a little more judicious probably moving forward in the four-out saves, especially for a guy like Kirby Yates with the mileage he has on his arm.
Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan. When can we expect Nathaniel Lowe to make his return?
Yeah, Bruce Bochy indicated that the beginning of the homestand would be a possibility. Nothing guaranteed. It does seem like sometime next week is a likelihood at this point. You know, he's going to continue to get work in. The team has Monday off. They're back in action Tuesday. It could be Tuesday. They start their series against the Mariners. But I think there's a really strong likelihood that he's going to be back sometime next week. It's a three-city or three-team homestand. But I think that the expectation is that he'll be in either sometime during the Mariners portion of the homestand or the Reds portion, and certainly before they cap off the homestand against the Nationals the following week.
We've been a little bit, you know, beating up the offense here for the Rangers, but I saw you put out a bunch of their ranks, and offensively they're coming in top five or top 10 on a lot of these things. But the slugging, the power, is that something that is, you know, that can be rekindled to a lineup? This is something that is not, they're not doomed to, oh, the power's just gone. That feels like something that they can continue to develop and get back to themselves like they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at it, Corey Seager's got one home run. Wyatt Langford's got no home runs. They've been without Josh Young, been without Nathaniel Lowe. Not that he's, you know, necessarily someone you think of as a 30 home run hitter, but someone who should be able to add some power. I fully think that when we look back after 162 games, we're going to look at this lineup, talk about how good it is, and a part of that conversation is going to be the power. You just got some guys who've gone off to slow starts when it comes to the power department, and I think, again, over time, that's all going to sort of equal out.
What letter did the word start with that got Bochy ejected yesterday?
That's a good question. I didn't ask. I imagine F is, you know, that's probably a popular pick there. That'd probably be the Vegas favorite. But, you know, he said something funny that, you know, he didn't want to prolong the discussion with the home plate umpire, Todd Tichenor, yesterday. Because he had Jose Leclerc waiting, you know, to start his inning, and so he just decided to wrap it up pretty quickly. So I think he knew that he was pressing the dynamite button, whatever it was, and he got out of there pretty quickly.
It's a veteran move. Got to love Boach. Yeah. He's got all the answers to the
Always
test.
Thinking. Yeah.
Dude, I wanted to ask you about the Corey Seager article from ESPN today. I'm sure a lot of this stuff you're already aware of, but it was really interesting to go inside the mind of – you know, a guy just obsessed with the perfect swing. You have a pretty good relationship with him, don't you? What was your reaction to that article?
Yeah, I was just happy that Corey opened up to Jeff Pass. And Corey, I think, is an incredibly insightful, you know, bright, compassionate person who cares so deeply about, you know, you mentioned the word perfection, but being as close to perfect as he possibly can be. And, you know, in the past, he just hasn't necessarily felt comfortable sharing, you know, any part of his process. But I thought it was a really great look at what makes him so special as a player. I see it every day, you know, walking the halls and talking to him, and I'm thankful to have a good relationship with him. And, you know, he's always been open and honest with me. And, you know, I hope people take time to read it. Again, Jeff Patson wrote the article, and, you know, we can talk about it more probably in detail, you know, next time we chat, but it you know, it is a very, honest, reflection of, you know, of how he approaches things, and a kind of a look into Corey's mind and, you know, what makes him tick and what it is that makes him so special.
Jared's preview brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Thank you, sir. Have a great call tonight.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on X, a must follow for Rangers fans everywhere. Speaking of must follows, it's time to hit the expressway, our final countdown till the pregame show, and Eric Nadell joins you next here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a terrific day. We have Rangers pregame coming up now in less than 20 minutes. And Eric Nadell, the Hall of Fame voice of your Rangers, is set to join us now to talk some baseball. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by soda as well. That is state of the art. And the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to truckwreck.com. Today's Rangers broadcast presented by the Texas Lottery. The Texas Lottery proudly supports Texas education and veterans. Look for teacher ticket specials at rangers.com, brought to you by the Texas Lottery. And good evening, Eric. How the heck are you?
He's in the building!
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are doing outstanding. What a great time to be a sports fan. Love to get your thoughts on the news of the day. Leiter optioned, Owen White up. What'd you make of Leiter's debut yesterday?
I thought he threw the ball really well. You know, obviously, if Leody makes that catch that he should have made, Leiter gets to stick around longer. He probably even picks up a win in the game. And my guess is they're going to send him down anyway, as they need a fresh arm in the bullpen. But at least he would have been leaving with a victory under his belt and probably four runs allowed rather than seven runs allowed. But I thought he definitely showed the kind of stuff that has everybody excited about him. And, you know, it was a good first step.
Did Leody make up later on in that game for that ball over his head? And how much of a concern is that hole in his defensive repertoire?
You know, I don't think it's that much of a concern. I actually think he's played really well defensively this year. He does have trouble sometimes on balls over his head. He's not the only one. But I think for the most part, his defense has been stellar this year. And, you know, I'll forgive him that one.
Is Owen White a guy now coming up that we should have an eye on, looking to do something, or is he just taking his turn trying to help the big league team here?
I think at this point he's just taking his turn, and if the Rangers, you know, need some innings pitched, he's going to give it to them. You know, he hasn't been outstanding at AAA this year, and I think it was really just a matter of right now he's the fresh arm. He's a guy who can give them length if they need it. You know, Andrew Heaney has been erratic this year, to say the least. And, you know, if this is another short start for Heaney, they might need the innings that Owen can provide. And I think that's more than anything the reason they made the move right now. He's on the roster. He's stretched out. So he's the guy who gets the call. I don't know that he's necessarily ready for a full audition yet in the big leagues.
Hey, Eric, you know, before the season, a lot of us in the media were talking about Wyatt Langford as the next Mickey Mantle kind of type player here. And I was just curious. I know the batting average is not terrible or anything like that, but just your assessment of watching him every day that you have and where he is as far as his progression to the start of the season.
Yeah, he's getting pitched really tough, you know, and, you know, he tore up spring training, but, you know, a lot of times in spring training, the pitchers aren't really trying to get you out the way they do in the regular season. They're just working on specific things. And once the season starts, you know, they're trying to get you out. And there's a book on Langford, and he's seeing pitches now, and he's seeing tunneling, if you will, and pitch sequencing that he's never seen before. So I'm really not surprised that, you know, he hasn't torn the league apart the way that he did in spring training and the way that a lot of people expected him to. You know, remember that when Mike Trout first came to the big leagues, you know, he struggled the first 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And his batting average was down around 200. There wasn't much power. And, you know, people were asking similar questions. But I think that Wyatt, for the most part, has had good at-bats. You know, he's looked good up there. He's competitive up there. And he seems to have remained in a good mental state, despite probably having more failure, if you will, than at any time in his life. Same thing goes for Evan Carter right now.
Sure, yeah.
So you think about 2 months in or something, that'd be a window where it could start to shift for him?
I would think so, yeah. And, you know, the Rangers, to their credit, keep running him out there, keep giving him the opportunities. You know, there's a lot of faith in this guy. And, you know, I think he'll be okay. To me, he never looks overmatched at the plate.
Eric Nadeau with us here on The Fan. How much faith do you have in a guy like Kirby Yates to continue the dominance there as the closer? I mean, back-to-back four-out performances there, getting the win and the save in back-to-back days. Is this, do you feel like this might be the Will Smith of last year where at some point this kind of fizzles out, or could Kirby Yates be the guy?
I don't think there's any reason to expect it to fizzle out considering the stuff that he has. You know, with that split finger pitch, which is now really just nasty. I think he's your closer. He's done it before. I think the Rangers are going to be very careful in how they use him to make sure they don't burn him out, which, you know, probably happened last year with Will Smith. And he's got better stuff than Will Smith does. And, you know, he's done the closing thing before. And, you know, I'm just delighted that he and David Robertson have been able to pitch the way that they have. And, you know, when Kirby needs a night off, Robertson or Jose Leclerc, you know, we'll get that opportunity. I imagine that would be the case tonight. And I think Kirby is the guy, and I think his signing in the offseason, which was kind of under the radar, is going to rank as one of the best in all of Major League Baseball by the time this season's over.
Eric, where would you rank the Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, Atlanta Braves uniforms? All the red, white, and blue. All, they're not your favorite?
Not my favorites. No.
I would have thought. I do. I think you're always, I should have known, you're the traditionalist, though, like the Cardinals and those kind. I kind of thought the old Biff Poparoga jerseys and stuff were pretty good for that time.
It's funny. I never liked them that much. And I am a traditionalist, but I always loved the Oakland A's jerseys.
Sure.
Even when they were wearing yellow jerseys, right, and people were making fun of them. The things that I always objected to were the colored pants.
Yes.
That was something that I couldn't stand. I never was able to do that. You know, the Pirates, when they wore those all mustard uniforms.
Sure.
The jerseys were fine with me. The yellow jerseys were fine. The yellow pants, not so much.
So when the White Sox threw down, like, then they had those softball uniforms with the black pants, you were totally out on that then, right?
Terrible, terrible. Yeah. And, you know, when I started, too, they were wearing those jerseys that had, they actually had collars.
Collars on them, yeah. Wilbur Wood out there pitching them up, yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Now, Eric, shortly before you made that debut, you were a hockey announcer, and
yeah.
I know we've talked to you over the years. It's a very exciting time here with the Stars opening up Monday against the Golden Knights. What do you think they might do here?
I'm so excited about the Stars. I've had so much fun watching them. I've been to several games this year. I love their team. I love the depth that they have. You know, they have so many dangerous forwards. They're so fast. They don't hit a lot of people, but they're really fun to watch. And now that Jake Ottinger is hot again, he's entering the playoffs, you know, on a hot streak. I think they're as well positioned as anybody to go all the way. I am really psyched for their playoff run.
So this team's better than like the bubble team or last year's team significantly, you think, or how would you?
I think so. I really do. I think they have much more depth, you know, with the young guys they've developed this year, you know, Wyatt Johnston, the way that Thomas Harley has come on this year. To me, they just have more outstanding players than they've ever had.
This this baseball team, the Rangers are taking on, speaking of outstanding players, how tough is this tonight for Heaney facing this lineup?
Really hard. I mean, this is a ridiculously deep lineup. And the way they've put up runs the last couple of seasons is otherworldly. This is really going to be a challenge for the three Rangers starting pitchers, you know, for Heaney and Eovaldi and Lorenz in the next 3 days. It's going to be a really good test.
I guess the good news is the bats are starting to heat up a little bit. I wanted to ask you, with so many different lineup combinations, is that something that the modern player just kind of has to get used to? Is there a drain? Is there a downside to, you know, trying to work the matchups that extensively as they have been?
I don't know that there is. I don't know that there should be. You know, most teams do it now. You don't see very many set lineups. And even if you do, there's usually a couple of changes, you know, based on platoon advantages. So I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing, particularly if there's good communication. And that's the one thing you can be sure of, you know, when Bruce Bochy's involved, that the players are going to understand what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Hey, Eric, I'm probably going to get a quick no on this one, but going back to old Braves stuff, did you ever meet Ted Turner?
I did meet Ted Turner.
Did you find him fascinating at all? Was he an interesting guy?
I loved talking to Ted Turner. When I started out, the Braves were training in West Palm Beach.
Okay.
And we were training in Pompano Beach. They were only about 45 minutes apart. And we would play the Braves, you know, a few times each spring. Mm-hmm. And when you went up to West Palm Beach, if you went into the press dining room before the game, Ted was usually in there.
Yeah.
And he was holding court.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved talking to him. I loved listening to him. I don't know that he was the greatest owner,
yeah,
but he was certainly fun, and he was opinionated, and he didn't care what anybody thought of his opinions, and yeah. I always really appreciated that.
Eric, before we let you go, it is a Friday. It is a tradition, and, you know, the Tolos would like to know. It doesn't necessarily have to be boozy, but what you drinking, what you thinking, buddy?
What I am thinking is, you know, I'm off this week. Yep. I have this new 100-game plan this year, so people will get used to my being gone a lot. And so I'm actually in Dallas this week. And this weekend, there are a couple of my favorite local musicians who are doing shows tonight in Flower Mound, where they have this tremendous concert series called the Lakeside Concert Series. It's free. It's outdoors. And Ginny Mack, who's one of my favorite local singers, she also plays the accordion. Plays as a duo. Sometimes she sings with Asleep at the Wheel. She has a fantastic voice. She's playing the Flower Mound Lakeside Concert Series tonight. It's from 7:30 to 9:30. I urge people to go out there and check her out. And then Sunday night in Louisville at the Louisville Grand Theater, which is a wonderful place to see a show, Angel White is performing. And Angel is a true rising star in the Texas country world. He's a local kid. I think he might even be from Louisville. But he's performing at the Louisville Grand Theater. Tickets are just $20. I know there are still some tickets available. And the show is early. It's a 6:30 show on Sunday. And I urge people to check that out, too.
Thank you, sir.
As for what I'm drinking, I'm going heavy on Topo Chico's these days.
There you go.
I love it. Live it up. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you up with you next Friday.
Thanks, guys.
Eric Nadel, the broadcast presented by the Texas Lottery. The Texas Lottery proudly supports Texas education and veterans. Look for teacher ticket specials at Rangers.com, brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Rangers baseball is next. Thanks to Lucius, and thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video, Chia Follow, and Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until Monday at 2, have a great weekend. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.